I mean, when you start from a loser like that, how do you, as you, I mean, I agree with the idea of putting people, you know, locking people down initially when it looked like everybody's going to die for it. I don't have a problem with that. But as time went by, and it looked like that wasn't helping anybody to stick to it. Even today, people are sticking to stuff that doesn't work. I mean, you know, I don't, and you've got a whole, well, whatever. I just think that you have, all kinds of people are it's like people that are bullish or bearish on the market. The world can change and they're still bullish or bearish because that's their shtick. And right now, you know, what's his name? Our governor is a mask and a couple of the people in Chicago, they're a mask and we can beat this thing if you just listen to me shtick. Yet everybody I know, Brendan, in the last month or two has damn near had it. They survived it. They're not afraid of it. And guess what? I don't feel like I'm not going to go out or I don't want to have somebody IDing me everywhere I go. That's where a real lot of people are right now. And you have people like, Johnson and other people that, you know, tell other people what to do and then they go to a party. I mean, I think it really has set politics back a long time. I mean, maybe some of
those. I agree in that whole situation with Johnson and anybody of his ilk. I mean, the thing was with Gavin Newsom in California when he imposed the lockdowns and then was seen at a very fancy restaurant in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's important, and that undercuts any credibility that they have as leaders. And Boris Johnson, on multiple occasions, having these parties at 10 Downing Street, when he's telling the rest of the country that they've got to lock down, then certainly it cuts the credibility and any loyalty that people have towards him. I mean, he deserves to be thrown out of office for that. And even saying, I mean, he hasn't even really said, I apologize and I was wrong.
Oh, he won't.
He's still trying to fight it and count him. They have to throw his butt out of office for stuff like that. I mean, that's reprehensible.
The other thing I wanted to question is the Supreme Court nominee. And as you know, I'm a person who is... You know, not just recently, but was taught at a very early age to essentially be colorblind, and I'm a serious follower of what Dr. Martin Luther King said, and which of course this is not the way you're supposed to think today, right? In some ways, and I have absolute zero problem. Matter of fact, I would love to see a African American lady on the Supreme Court that didn't go to Harvard. I think that would be great, and. I think that people, in fact, I asked some of my judge and attorney buddies last week, is there anybody qualified? And they said, well, there's a lady here in Chicago. She's too young, but she's going to be very qualified. She's considered the best judge on the circuit. She's bright. She's personable. She's really studies her stuff. Her clerks like her. Everybody thinks that she gives a fair shake, but she's in her 30s or late 30s. And so, they evidently one of the candidates is this lady from South Carolina. Is her name Chimes or something? Is that her last name?
Childs.
And evidently she's incredibly qualified, very personable. But now my question is, why are our people so, I won't use the term dumb, I just did, but what is wrong with these people? Can I put it that, if somebody was going to nominate me for the Supreme Court, and I was qualified, which of course I'm not. You might be. Last thing I want is some dumb president, or I won't say dumb person, but say something stupid like, I think we need a Chicago Southside male of Irish Italian descent on the court. And then they pick me. Well, I don't want that. What you just said is, we're cutting out 90% of the population, and we're going to focus on the 10% we can find, and out of this small pool, we're gonna pick this schlump up, meaning me, and throw me on the court. I guess I'd still try and do a good job, and I wouldn't turn it down. But why even say that? Why do you want to tell somebody that you're racially profiling the spot when the person appears to be when a person appears to be qualified anyway? Just pick her.
I agree. He could have done this by just picking an African-American woman without going through all the stuff. He was doing that for political reasons to show that he was keeping a promise that he made during the campaign.
But you can't do that.
What he did was no different than other presidents have done in the past. when Trump was saying he was going to nominate conservatives, he was looking to select, no matter how many justices he was able to appoint, he was going to look at the Federalist qualifications and go to people like that, who were very conservative, whose main litmus test was to overturn Roe versus Wade. He said in advance that he was going to appoint a woman. Ronald Reagan said he was going to appoint a woman. Of the 115 justices on the Supreme Court, 108 of them have been white men.
I'm not going to
any opportunity for anybody else besides a white man to get in that position. The line that you just said is just unreasonable at this day and age. It's not that big of a deal that he was going to appoint a black man.
Okay, but my point is for Ronald Reagan, when there's never been a lady on there, to say it's time for a lady is totally different. Because you're talking about, I mean, you're not profiling by saying there's been, you know, 9 million lady nurses in this world, and we're gonna try and find one guy for our next nurse. You're not really profiling when you're talking about half the population. I'm saying I don't like the way Trump did it, but to say that this guy's not as bad as Trump, that's no compliment.
I'm not saying he's not as bad as Trump. I'm saying that other presidents have done the same thing.
Okay, but this
they have profiled and announced who they were looking for in advance.
Okay, but right now,
when you're talking about anything like affirmative action appointments, what that says is that this person is not qualified, but is in there solely because of their gender or their race.
I'm saying,
and that's not what this is about. It's not that there's only one person who could fill the Supreme Court position.
Right. I know you have
letting people know that it's not across the board, that he's limited his search to black women.
All right, because I'm going to say the African-American population in the country is 20%. And it's probably high. It's probably like 18%. And then you're going to cut that in half, and you're going to say, I'm only looking at... That's not the same as saying, I want a woman on the board. It's not saying I'd like somebody out of Harvard, not in Harvard Law School. I'm saying, if I was her, I'd rather he wouldn't have said any of that and just pick me. Because,
that might have been ideal, but I'll tell you that even if he had done that, there are a lot of people in this country who would have pushed back against her because she's African-American and a woman and didn't go to an Ivy League school like Harvard or Yale.
Well, but, I mean, we also are at the point...
situation.
Okay, we're at the point now where we have had several women on the court, and we've had a couple of African-Americans. We haven't had an Asian that I know of. We haven't had an American Indian, right?
Nope.
So if we're gonna be even here, we're still kind of short. And from what I read about the lady, I go right ahead. I'm right behind you. I'm a vote behind you. She looks spectacular. Matter of fact, throw a couple more of these other people off and put a couple more people like her on there. I have no problem with that, Brent. I'm just saying. Just at some point, you can't be snipping for votes and say the dumbest things on earth when you're supposed to be the damn president. I mean, you know I'm saying at some, I just you can't say stupid stuff, and you can't. I'm saying if I was her, I wish he wouldn't have said that. I just want the nomination. And I'm going to do a good job. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I get that point that it would have been better if you didn't say that. But the fact is that that's a trope that's being used right now against him for making a gaffe. But he's just saying what his preference is. If he was to come out and say, I'm looking for a white man from New York, who are you eliminating? So, I mean, that's the argument is specious, that because of limiting to a black woman, that he's doing something wrong or said something wrong. I think it's an acknowledgement of where things are in our country right now. And having a black candidate, having a woman or a black woman on the court is just overdue.
Well, I don't know that...
If he said he was going to look for everybody across the board and say, throw out 100 names, then he's not going to look at 100 people. He's narrowing it down to a few people, and all of the people he's looking at are qualified black jurists.
All right, and what happened? What about the Asians? They're out?
There's one position available right now. So, I mean, you can't fill one position with an Asian, with a black woman, with any other demographic. There's one position open right now. Again, this is a specious argument that you're not going to put seven people into one position.
I understand.
There may be a time later on when there's an Asian judge, justice, that will be appointed. I don't know.
I just am, as you can tell, I'm against profiling at any level. I just am. I just look at somebody and I just want to see how qualified they are and put them in there. And I think there are, And I would have, if I had three people pop up, and two of them were white guys, and one of them was an African-American lady, and they were an even choice, I would absolutely, right now, or if it was an Asian, I would say, you know, we need some diversity, we don't have one of these, I'd pick them. But I would never demean the nomination to the person I gave it to by saying I'm only going to pick a guy like me from the South Side, which nobody would ever do. I wouldn't want the job if he said that.
I see it a little bit different. I see, obviously, that there's a recognition that, by Biden's comment, there's a recognition that there are a multitude of black jurists, black women jurists, who are qualified. And in the past, that demographic has not been very well examined or appointed to the Supreme Court justice. So I'm going to limit my search to the demographic that has a number of qualified people that has not yet been served or appointed.
All right, well, then I'm ready. I'm the South Side guy.
Yeah.
Have we ever had one?
And I think that's fair. I think that the next time a vacancy comes up, we should put a pitch in for some guy from the South Side of Chicago, some white guy from the South Side of Chicago, maybe a Marist graduate from the early 70s to make it fairer for the country.
Well, if they nominated me, could I give the job to you? Because I wouldn't really want it.
Sure. Yeah, just hand it off.
Who would I give it to? You or Lou or Jan or three attorneys on the show?
Well, you know, it depends on the composition of the court. You know, I think that I'm probably not as conservative as some other folks that you have in mind, but so it depends on which way you want to swing the court.
I would say that would be the truth. Anyway, drive safe, buddy. We'll talk at you next week. SP Futures down 650, NASDAQ Futures up 12. Now we've flipped it around. Be right back. Mr. Joel Uncannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, Innovation and Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Well, North Bay Stacks and Jacks, I'm Tom Allen. He's Eliani on the board. SP Futures down 475. NASDAQ Futures up 2250 as we've turned mixed here. We were down when we came in. Dow Futures down 75. But we ended up with a bad month in January, but we had a good day yesterday. 2 days in a row, we came flying back. Dow was up 406, S&P up 83, NASDAQ up 469. So we're way higher up than we were on certainly Thursday of last week. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 164, full percent. Now, they didn't get the full brunt of the rally yesterday here. FTSE up 67.9%, CAC around up 78. That's 1.1%. So across the board, Nikkei up 76.28%. Shanghai down 32. That's almost a full 1%. Hang Seng up 252. That's a full 1%. Australia maintained their interest rate. So nobody is planning on really fighting this inflation. We'll talk about that in a minute here, but I think we're going to end up with all the bad part of that, but we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. 10-year down 3 basis points to 175. The bond minus 2 basis points to 0.00. Interesting. Japan up 1 basis point to 0.18. We've got oil down 56 cents, 87.59. Brent down 57 cents, 88.69. Natural gas down 14 cents, 473, but still way above the 390 it was like a week ago. RBOB down a penny to 254. We've got gold, which had a little bit of a rally yesterday, a rally again this morning, up 1190, back over 1800, 1808. Silver up 51 cents, 2291 as it continues. It was dramatic run back and forth between like 21, I'm gonna say 22 and a quarter and 24. Flying back and forth in there. Copper up 5 cents, 438. We've got Bitcoin up 269 to 38,746 as it kind of settles in there above the 33,000 and actually got down. So actually it might have touched 30, but it's up pretty much from its lows. Eliani, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, Chief. Hi, everyone. It is currently 6:38 a.m. on February 1st. Already February this year. My God. All right, so let's look at sports. Nothing to report from last night, but Bulls will play Magic tonight, and Suns are going to play the Nets tonight, so let's look forward to that game. In hockey, Blackhawks lose to Canucks. Nothing to report for our friends in Phoenix. In college basketball, NIU will play Western Michigan State tonight. Nothing to report for our friends in Phoenix. In weather today, kind of warm for Chicago considering the time of year. Currently it's 36 degrees with a high of 42. We're going to have some sleet later today, and we do have a winter storm warning starting at 8 p.m. tonight.
Good old sleet.
Oh, my God. And in Phoenix, currently 50 degrees, cloudy with a high of 69 and a low of 48. Traffic, we have a bit of traffic this morning on the roads. Starting at 290 East between I-88 West Ramp and Central. More traffic on 290 West between Holman and 17th. There was an accident cleanup at 1st Avenue. Traffic on 94 East between Greenview and Pershing. Traffic 294 West between 130th and North Throop. More traffic on 55 North between South Damon and the Route 20 connector. More traffic on I-90 East between Cumberland and I-94 East Ramp, and expect that traffic to get worse as you approach Chicago inbound at the 290-94 highway intersection because of all that construction over there. So make sure to drive safe today. We don't not only have cars against us, but weather.
Yes. So now if you were on the south side and you said Throop, they'd say where?
Troop.
Troop. Like an F troop, although it's pronounced and spelled differently.
Yeah.
Do we have Mr. Joel?
We do.
Joel, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Chief. How you doing on this Tuesday? Are you guys going to get the big snow, or did you already get it?
We're supposed to be tomorrow and Thursday, which will be pretty miserable because I have to go to a wake tomorrow night and a funeral on Thursday out in the burbs. So really don't feel like driving back and forth in 8 inches of snow, but it's a must show for me. So that won't be good. Just saying. So I'm hoping our young lady is wrong, but she never is.
Okay. Is that true? All right. So, what do you want to cover today, Chief?
What do you want? Where do you want to start, Bud? We got. I'm in the camp, and talk me out of this camp. I'm in the camp that the Fed is going to do absolutely nothing. and they're going to try and make it to November. And that's why the market has come back like this.
Oh, Chief, you're being late. You're being the ultra contrarian Chief. You're not following the J.P. Morgan or Citibank way or Bank of America call for 6, 7, 8 hikes.
Let me ask you this: I'm sure you've known people through your, you know, your pretty solid life these days that have have said they were going to quit smoking and talk about it every time you see it, and 40 years later they're still smoking. Have you ever heard so much talk? Go ahead.
I think you're partially right. I don't think they're going to be as hawkish as they say they're going to be, just because, you know, there's a lot can happen between now and November. I think they're going to do a couple hikes. I think they're going to, right now, I'd say a quarter in March, and that's a, you know, and then maybe, you know, another quarter, you know, moving forward. I don't think they're going to go a half. I think that would really spook the market. But I really think in the back of Powell's mind and in the Fed's mind that this stuff is going to work itself out. The disinflation, you know, supply chain issues, yada, 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 are temporary. And before he really has to ratchet rates up too much, the market, A, or B, you know, the supply chain, the numbers will start to come down. So I'm going to partially agree with you, but I can't say they're not going to do anything till November.
Well, I'm not a, well, first of all, I think you're probably right, and I'm being a little too extreme, but I will say this: when you've got an inflation rate, if you average the useless CPI numbers of the last 3 months, and you know, if you average those and multiply them by four, you're talking about an 8.2% rate or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's even if you believe the CPI numbers, which have housing prices like not even going up, and rents, and they have mm-hmm. and they have hospitalization rates as being like, you know, flat, which it, none of that's true. Even if you take that for instance, moving yourself from a quarter of a point, which is incredibly expansionary, to a half a point, which is slightly less incredibly expansionary, is like you and I peeing in Lake Michigan because the water level's too low. We're not even...
Exactly.
I mean, we could do that. But I think a guy, after all this time, I mean, and he's not a young kid, anybody who's in that spot that has poured 38% money into the system in 2 years and has watched a government for 14 years, like the first 12, they averaged 8% money supply growth a year where an economy was barely growing. Anybody who thinks that this inflation is caused by supply chain problems has as much business in that job as I do playing center on the NBA team tonight. I mean, I don't dislike the man as a person, but if he really believes that and is not just being controlled, how the hell is he in that spot, Joel?
How the hell is he in that spot? Building up a reputation. And being around, I think longevity is the way that getting along with administrations. That's how you move it up. I mean, yeah, it was. Maybe he doesn't believe that is a direct response from the supply chain, but it definitely added to it. I mean, it definitely was a factor. It's not the only factor, and we still would have inflation and hints of it. But you can't deny that the extraordinary economic shock that the country and the world went through is not going to have repercussions for years to come. So I think he doesn't think that solely, but I think just as much as you would say, you know, you can't totally, you know, it's not the entire cause, you certainly have to say it's part of the equation.
It is part of the fact that the places where you have the supply chain problems, those prices would have gone up in relation to other prices, which probably would have gone down. The general increase, where those go up twice as much and the other stuff goes up one and a half times as much is caused by money. You and I know that. I mean, I suppose,
right.
Can we, is there a dummy left on earth who's still alive that blames the inflation of the 70s and 80s on the Arabs, even though that was what they blamed it on during the time? I mean, there might be that dummy somewhere, but I think it's been wrung out everybody's system by now, hasn't it?
Yep. I mean, once again, it was a factor.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the overall. But to have the kind of inflation, to have the kind of economic change, a series of different things have to happen. It's just not A or B. I'll agree with you on that.
So what about your team?
I knew this was coming up. I'll tell you right now. You know, usually I have a strong inclination and a feel about things, and I'm usually right. Right now, him going to interview with Minnesota on signing day, you know what? He can get the hell out of here. You know, if that's what he wants to do, then he can do it. He better have something. He better pull something out of his hat. I didn't think there was any way it was going. I mean, who would want to leave Ann Arbor, Michigan? All this posturing now to go to the NFL, I don't even know. I'm truly at a loss for words. What I'm thinking is that if he does decide to go to Minnesota or Miami, they're going to move Josh Gattis up. He's the offensive coordinator. They're going to slap the interim tag on him, try and keep the continuity with recruits. They're going to move Steve Klingscale to defensive coordinator. They're going to move Mike Hart to offensive coordinator. And try and tread water for a year. I don't know. It's after having a good year like this to think that he's going out on top because he beat Ohio State once and then got slaughtered in the playoffs. Good riddance, Jim. If that's what you want to do, then you could be you could do it in the NFL. That's something. He's thinking, I'm never going to be able to recruit the same players as Georgia and Alabama. I'm never going to be able to get over that hump, no matter what. Different athletes, he saw it, so he thinks at least if he goes to the NFL, he can cultivate his own, his own players, get his own quarterback. But at this point, Jimmy, you want to go interview with Minnesota on signing day? And, get the hell out of here.
I'm sort of with you. And we'll talk basketball next week, but SP Futures down 3. NASDAQ Futures up 22. Right back, Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Look at them yo-yos.
that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working.
Blown off by Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Allen. Eliani on the board. SP Futures down 3. NASDAQ Futures up 23. So we are definitely mixed this morning. One place is not mixed. So UPS up 14.5 to 216.77. Mr. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. I was being controversial with Joel about the Fed and my increasing distaste for the chairman. But then again, I'm not so sure he's not just the spaghetti spine dude in that job. I don't know if he's what the story is with him, because I think these guys must know what they're doing and seemingly doing the opposite. But that would just be me. So there. So how's that for starting our day? What do you make of the month and the market and the last 2 days flying back? We sure as hell don't.
Well, you know what? I'm not surprised. January was a tough month. Actually, it's been a tough, you know, 3 or 4 months for some names, right? Some tech names and disruptive tech names. I mean, they've gotten really smashed. I'm not necessarily surprised that we saw kind of a rally on Friday and then another rally yesterday into month end, as portfolio managers, you know, are taking advantage and traders are taking advantage of some names that have gotten really beaten up. You saw big moves yesterday, right?
Yep.
PayPal, Nvidia, all these names that are solid names that are down substantially, up, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10% with yesterday's moves. And that makes some sense because, you know, we're into a new month now. January's over. Some of these names look attractive and they want to add them to their portfolio. So I'm not necessarily surprised at all. Do I think this is the end? Absolutely not. I think we have to test the low that we created on January 24th, which was like 4,200 and 4,220 on the S&P. Just because of the speed at which it happened, it needs to test it again to see if it's real. I don't necessarily suspect it's going to happen convulsing like that again the way it did, but I wouldn't be surprised to see kind of a slow churn lower to test it. But overall, you know, I'm okay with where we are at the moment. I'm not looking for, you know, a massive sell-off. I'm not looking for the S&P to correct 15 or 20%. But I would like to see it go back and test those lows.
What when you mention the solid names, I would not debate you on that. But solid names doesn't mean correct pricing. I don't.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
It does not. But you know, when you look at some of those names like you know, PayPal or Tesla or Amazon and Teladoc, Spotify, you know, which rose 13% yesterday. Now, part of that was on the back of the Joe Rogan apology, blah, 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 which I think is baloney. Let Neil Young and Joni Mitchell do what they want. It's about, don't even get me started about, you know, about free speech and all that stuff, because if you don't like what Joe Rogan has to say, don't listen. And if you don't like Neil Young, then don't listen to his music either. All I'm saying is we saw some action in those names, and NVIDIA. That's a great name, NVIDIA, setting up for what the future holds between the metaverse and technology, all that stuff. But for NVIDIA to go from $320 a share to $210 a share over the course of 5 or 6 weeks, you know, I like back up the truck. You know, if you liked it at 300, which I did, I fell in love with it at 210, and you're going to back up the truck. Where to close last night? 240 something, right? Or 238, wherever it was right there in the eye.
I'll find it.
But those are names that I think you have to really, that have gotten unnecessarily beaten up, and you have to take advantage.
Well, what you just said, you know, presupposes. How's that for a word, Kenny? This hour of morning, when you say something. Let's. By the way, I have it up 6:57 at 251.53 pre market. If a stock is trading, I mean, I always, you know, as an index trader, I always looked at those things in the dot bomb era. Back in the day, I mean, I didn't know where those prices were coming from, and I'm more of a fundamental guy than technical, because I don't know anything about technicals. And, other than, boy, that's a nice looking graph. Whatever it means by nice looking. I mean, when NVIDIA say it's 350 and now it's 250, I think you still have to put pencil to paper, which nobody does anymore, and say, were the people who paid 350 just idiots? I mean,
I agree with you, because I do, you know, a lot of my trading and analysis based on stock charts, right? Much more technical than fundamentals. Certainly paying attention to fundamentals, but when I see moves like that in NVIDIA, I don't know, was 350 the wrong price at the time people were paying 350? It's hard to say that it was or wasn't, right? Because there were plenty of people willing to pay 350. But then you have this repricing, which I don't necessarily think is over yet, but in names like that, PayPal, NVIDIA, I think when those names go on sale like that, and from 330 to 210 was a big sale in NVIDIA.
Oh, I don't disagree.
It's a hold from NVIDIA.
But I'm saying, here's one I know more about, because I don't know much about NVIDIA, but I know a little bit more, I'd say, about Netflix. All right, so the thing takes a drubbing. It comes from 700 down to, where to make it down to 3, it's back up with this Ackman guy buying it. It's back over 400.
Yep.
It was under 400. And I remember the day that it collapsed, 100 and some bucks, I just sat there and I went through the numbers. And you never know what these guys are giving you the right numbers or not. But they basically went from, they were down 100 and some bucks, they went from like 50 PE to 38. And if it was going down another 100 bucks, it'd be 28, or 27. I happen to think, this is just my thoughts on Netflix, and you can disagree, and I'm probably wrong, but the company has been a serious survivor. They've managed to roll with the industry and be, first or second at every iteration, from sending stuff in the mail to everything else. And I actually really appreciate their management. But I also know, they're kind of long in the tooth. And, I don't know that somebody been around that long deserves necessarily a 50 PE. They should be making some more money by now. They've been around for, 20 years that I know, over 15. I don't know. It has nothing to do with the stock or the people who bought it at 700. It has to do with, does this thing deserve a 50 PE or a 38 or a 28? Any one of those numbers, I still like the company. And I think, I don't know that they deserve a 50 PE. I don't know if they deserve a 38. 28, I'd be wobbling. So these things have gotten to such rarefied air. I mean, if the 350 in NVIDIA means, 200 times earnings and 50 times revenue, I might like the company, but I'm not paying that.
Right.
I mean, some of these are there. But
it's interesting because we can talk about that, right? Because a lot of these names got absolutely way overbought and overvalued because money was so free. People had to put money somewhere. It was all about, these sexy high growth days. That it was a way overcrowded trade. And that's obvious because you see the way they've all been repriced, right? As people started to get out of those names, it was just, there was much, much more aggressive selling and the buyers just stepped back. And so have they come down to better prices? Yeah, they have.
Yes, they have.
Netflix, when it dropped on January 21st, that was the earnings, wasn't it? When it fell out of bed that day?
Yeah,
on the 21st, I think.
Yeah, we got a dash, but I think some of it came. We'll talk about this next week. We'll have Eliana will write it down. She's very, very good at this stuff. We should talk about what index trading does to that. That if you and I throw $30 billion in the triple Qs today, how people are going to go buy NVIDIA? Nobody cares. Nobody cares if they don't make any money, right? It's just going in the.
It's just right.
So I mean,
it's part of the play. It's part of the game.
It's part of the day. You're right. It's part of the day we're in. Anyway, buddy, take care of yourself. Have a good week. I'm sure you're. I'm sure you're the guy who bought all those spoos Thursday night and are up, fat and happy.
And I want to know what Nancy Pelosi bought on Thursday.
Oh,
night. That's what
I'd love. I'd love to have a view of her account. Boy, oh boy. You'd be at the yacht store this morning.
Say it again.
We'd be at the yacht store this morning if we had a view.
Yeah, right.
Take care of yourself. SP Futures down 550. NASDAQ Futures up 19. We come back with Mr. John Flanagan because Jeff Joseph is on an airplane. Be right back.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
There's something happening. Hello, welcome back to Sox and Jacks. I'm Tomorrow. She's Eliani on the board. S&P futures down 4, NASDAQ futures up 22. We have Dow futures down 22. Two stocks moving, one down, one up. Telephone's down a buck and a half, which is a big move for telephone. I'm going to say the straddle in there was probably 85, 90 cents. So I guess if you bought the straddle, you're a winner. It's unusual. And EPS the other way. The straddle was 12.50 or so, and the stock's up 13.80. Those guys are pretty good that do these straddles. So you'd have been happy to be long at this, assuming we're away from opening. If the stock drops a buck between now and opening, you'll be flat on the straddle and wonder, wow. We have Mr. Flanagan?
We do indeed. Hi, Tom.
How are you? Did you see the pick of Maddie's new member of the family?
Oh, this is great news.
Yeah. So what do you think Venkman thinks of all this, the dog?
It'll be a period of adjustment, but I agree with what Brendan said earlier. When my sister was born, we had a dog for about 6 months, and the dog became the most loyal, fierce defender of my sister when she was a child and a toddler and wandering around the backyard and stuff. The dog just sprang into, you know, she was the best bodyguard you could possibly have had because she knew how my sister was treated in the family. And, you know, the dog kind of picked up on that, and it was going to, like, show up everybody else and, you know, go to the front of the pack. So it bodes well, I think.
When I first moved into my current hood, the people across the street had a rescue greyhound, and she was the sweetest thing. Those dogs, they're nice dogs. You know, it takes a while for them to get the difference between being on a track and being a pet, but they figured out pretty quick. So they had the baby, cute little girl, and I'm going to say that they were inseparable. And matter of fact, I mean, she learned to walk by grabbing the dog's ear and pulling herself up. dog didn't care. She thought that was her job. It was okay.
It was a service dog.
I can't imagine. You know, they moved out of the neighborhood when she was maybe seven, and the dog was getting kind of long in the tooth. I didn't want to be around that day when that happened. You know, when that dog went. But boy, talk about a loved and. What a sweet dog. And they're total couch spuds. You know, they're for an apartment dog. The Greyhound's a great apartment dog.
They think, oh, yeah, they don't bark. You know, for really, walks they're very, yeah. You know, they're timid isn't the right word, but they have a low profile, really. I mean, they're not like running around bashing things and stuff. You can really, you know, appreciate them for their temperament. I think they're glad to have a home unlike the one they have at the track.
Oh, God, absolutely. And two walks a day and they're happy. You know,
it's like me, Tom.
Yeah. You don't want to go jogging with them. They might be a little faster than us, but anyway,
they'll yank it, you know, twice your normal rate of walking. So
yeah, but anyway, the market here is you know, we're steady after two huge up days. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. I don't know if you heard me earlier jousting with our liberal friend Brendan regarding the Supreme Court nomination, and I'm against any sort of even hint of profiling. Which doesn't mean that I don't want a diversified court. I just don't want to be the person that says I knocked everybody else out of the running, but so you're my pick. You know, just pick her.
I agree with with both of you. I mean, I know where Brendan's coming from because traditionally there's been a political aspect to every Supreme Court appointment. They, you know, they needed a southerner or a northerner or an easterner or a westerner, all sorts of reasons to pick somebody. But they were smart by not, you know, saying, I'm only going to look at, you know, XYZ group of justices or potential justices. I'm not going to, you know, throw everybody else under the bus or tell them to go to the back of the bus this time while I look at everybody who's in the group I've designated. And, but it's, you know, Biden did the same thing with his vice presidential candidate, and I think that's proven to be a disaster by even some of his biggest supporters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It didn't do anybody any good for the next, you know, run around when we have to pick a running mate, you know, on either party, and you start saying, because I want to get elected and I think I need a black woman vote more than anybody else's, I'm going to pick only a black woman for my running mate or a black woman for the Supreme Court. I mean, I think if I were black, I'd be insulted by this.
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm saying. I don't think, of course, it could work out. At least, there's still people who think that Johnson was involved in the Kennedy assassination. At least it's not that bad. They're not killing him.
Right. Well, you know, the transparency of the process is what is most important. And you can, if you're a president picking a nominee, you can end up however you want to and have your own reasons for doing it. But if it looks like it's fair and you considered lots of different kinds of people, I think even your biggest critics would say, well, you've got your reasons for doing this. You didn't just, you know, insult everybody else in the talent pool by saying we're not even going to look at you. I think that you couldn't do that in, you know, the private sector in business.
No, you never could.
Without pissing off half of or three quarters of your employees. So why would you do it in this setting either?
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, like I said, I am absolutely against profiling, and there's laws against me doing it if they can do it.
Right.
It's sort of the same. I mean, I can't quote the law per se, but in the state of Illinois, and I'm thinking a lot of states, and this used to happen. Say, for instance, you liked Eliani a real lot, and you bought her a gift certificate for, you know, you're a big shot, $1,000. It used to be that could have an expiration date on it, right? Well, now it can't, right? So
right.
But yet, if you buy Chicago permits for in front of your house, they expire. Which, why would they expire? You still live there. Yet the city is not, you know, they don't have to pay any attention to the law that you and I would, or Macy's would, or Target would. And I'm against any of that stuff. You know, full bore. You know, it's funny, I went to a funeral a few weeks ago, it wasn't very long ago, and it's weird how some of us Southside people, especially the Irish ones, think. You know, look, Kathy was giving the eulogy for her dad. That big, huge guy. I mean, the guy's 90 years old. He was still as tall as he was when he was like 30. He was still 6'5". Didn't shrink at all, John. How the hell did he manage to pull that off? But he's just this big, huge Irish guy. You can tell the Norwegian, you know, influence, big round face. Anyway. I mean, Kathy's given a thing, and he was a teacher and a principal in Chicago Public Schools. And one thing she mentioned in the eulogy was, my dad had, there was no color of gray. It was either black or white, it was right or wrong, and if it was good, if it was wrong for somebody else, it was wrong for you. Boy, when she said that, I'm sitting there, God, it sounds like me. I mean, I don't know how I got, like, if I don't want people profiling, I don't want anybody profiling, not just me, everybody, the government, whatever, for votes, pandering, whatever it is, I don't want you profiling. That's just me. Now, I guess I'm not for this world, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, that's the king message, you know, the injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere.
Yeah.
If you can do it in some corners, you can do it in any corner. So, you know, I'm with you on that completely.
I actually read something about, you know, minorities. This guy is long ago. I don't know where I either throw it out or bury it somewhere where I can't find it. I mean, I guess back in the day I should learn how to scan or something. But it was a pretty good article regarding minorities and how to be considered a minority, you actually have enough political power to force yourself into that, you know, sign of a preferred minority status. And by the time you do, you almost don't need to be considered a minority anymore because you got enough power that you don't. I mean, it was at the time that, you know, the African American community was getting all the power that they had been screwed out of forever. I mean, there's no doubt that there needed to be a lot of improvement. I mean, I think, you know, I've on the show many times. I've said I've gone through the GI Bill stuff, and you know, the African American community qualified for the GI Bill and after World War II. But oh, guess what? You can't get a mortgage, and we're not going to let you in the university. Well, that's interesting, right? So you really didn't. I guess it really didn't cover you, did it? You know, even though it supposedly did, and it didn't cover any women, no matter black or white or blue or whatever color. So no women were qualified for the GI Bill at all, which is an incredible. So the article went on to say, well, the African American community has now reached the point where they can demand, the political power, which they should have, anybody should have, not just they. But it said, what about these guys? American Indians, nobody cares about them. They're not a big enough minority to carve out a spot for them and get the minority favors. Same way with Asians at the time and Hispanics at the time. Although now Hispanics have grown to a point where they're sort of the same way, right? They have enough political power to where it's probably not totally equal yet, but they're getting there, right? I mean, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I wouldn't mind at all a Hispanic mayor in Chicago. I mean, I think, you know, there's some people there that are pretty good. I'm saying anyway, the article was by the time you end up becoming this favored minority, you don't even really need to be in a minority anymore because you've made it. I don't agree with all of it in there, but it was an interesting point of view.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of truth in that, and it's pretty clear to me now that what's happened with, you know, this upcoming Supreme Court appointment and the vice presidential slot too, it isn't really about equity or fairness. It's about divisiveness and keeping groups identified as opposed to some other group or being on, you know, the wrong side of a particular choice at this moment. Once you start treating the population that way, that you've got most favored status and you've got least favored status, even if you think your ultimate choice here is going to do some good, which I suspect, you know, it could, but when you frame it that way, all you do is deepen the hatred between groups who feel like they don't count anymore, they never did count, they're never going to count again, and you build up resentment where you don't have to, but it seems like you want to. And this is what really bothered me about Obama in his second term, and you can see it in the first term too, but it's pretty clear with Biden, who's ever advising him, they want this divisiveness. They want groups to feel like they've been shut out. They want groups to feel like they're in the preferred lane here. I don't know why you would do that if you really wanted to bind people together, which was supposed to be his mission, but he's doing a pretty good job of going against the mission.
Well, I just, my stepfather, who was an odd guy in a lot of ways, but he was a controller for Simon Eyes Wax and Morton. If you ever went down to his place, and this I'm talking about when I was a kid, so it's, you know, many, many decades ago. If you walked into his, and he was from the South Side, but he had been in the Army. If you walked in his accounting department, he might have, in those days, you had a bunch of people there, right? Because everybody's hacking away at a machine and your accounts payable were, you know, manual, and your accounts receivable, everybody had a job. If you walked into his place, it looks like somebody today with a vice president of diversity might have. He had people that were from India in there. He had black people. He had women. You'd swear it was something out of this century. And his point was, I don't care what you look like. If you show up and do a good job, I don't care. I promote you. He never even looked, you know, I learned a lot from him, and that he goes, I said, boy, interesting looking group you have. I was always a smart ass kid. He goes, they all work hard. They're all good people. What do I care what they look like? Is what he told me. And, you know, that's the attitude I have. And I don't, he never had a sign up and say, you know, I'm going to do this or I'm going to hire that person. If you came by, he just did it. I mean, I guess I'm more for the, Maybe I'm on my hind horse here because I'm so tired of the Fed talking about doing something for 6 months now and haven't done it yet. Maybe it's just I'm tired of people talking about it. You know, like in sports, general, we used to show up. Would you guys quit talking about it? Let's lace them up and go play. Let's see what's going to happen instead of talking about it. right? I mean, at some point you got to stop talking about the football game and get out there and kick off.
Well, if it were about picking the most qualified person for any opening or whatever, and you let the chips fall where they may, and you weren't predisposed to exclude a whole group of candidates because of something they couldn't help and had nothing to do with, but looked at what their skills they brought to the table, and you disregarded things that, racial markers or gender markers, you name it, you'd have, I think it'd be a pretty good business model in addition to being ethically on the right side of things. But once you start saying, I don't really care how many other qualified people there are out there other than I'm looking at a very narrow slice of the population because I've got some crass political reasons for doing this, I think you encourage everybody to look at the world as a deeply unfair place. And it depends on where you were born, who you are, what your race was. You don't have anything to do with those things. But somebody's paying pretty sharp attention to those things, so you better just settle into your second-class status. And it's wrong if you're black. It's wrong if you're not black. So I just don't see any way out of this other than more and more backbiting and sniping and grudges being created. I think it could have all been done so differently and still gotten to the result he wanted if he had good advisors.
I'm not at all upset with the choice I think they're going to land on. Matter of fact, I actually, from what I've heard about her, I think she's spectacular. If it was me, I'd sit there and go, "Hey, man, this court looks a little old, or looks a little white, or something." I would sit there and get, "Okay, give me a list of qualified people." And at the end of the day, I hope that one of the top three gives us a little something. I mean, I would hope that if I'm Sears, the dear departed Sears, so I can pick on them. If all the people in my catalog division that are buying stuff for me, and we're trying to attract younger people, I would hope, even though I wouldn't say it, I would hope that the top three people, the new buyers, one of them's in their 20s or 30s, because that's the crowd I'm trying to attract, and we don't have anybody like that, and I would just pick them. But it's not the same as putting out a sign that says must be between the ages of 25 and 32, because you're not supposed to do that. Right,
and the reason you're not supposed to do that is because it creates bad feeling for generations, which you can't really afford in this kind of a climate. I think, but in the case of Trump appointing Amy Coney Barrett, I think the best thing about that appointment was it got us out of this rut of people who have been trained in law schools in Boston and New Haven only when it comes to considering you for Supreme Court, because we got thousands of law schools in this country, and we got lots of bar associations and 50 states, all with their own particular richness and diversity. But to decide you've been disqualified from being a Supreme Court judge if you didn't go to Harvard or Yale Law School, to me it's just like an insult to everybody else who scrimped and saved and built a legal career out of whatever they had available to them, and the fact they didn't go to those schools does not mean that they're stupid or unqualified, but it just means we're not even going to consider you in past.
Well, how many, if this lady gets appointed, how many are we up to? Four women or five?
There'll be four.
One just died, or it had been five.
Right.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah, if you're looking at it as a mathematically precise thing, and this is, that's dangerous too, but if you look for balance and, fairness and some kind of, it's all going to even out eventually, and we'll get the most diverse group of justices we can because we claim to be a diverse nation, although you wouldn't know it from looking at the Supreme Court for, the past 100 years or so.
It's gotten worse
in the last, 40, 50 years when it comes to the short list of people. That was the thing that frustrated me most about. I mean, could you imagine, somebody like Wiley Rutledge from the University of Iowa Law School being appointed to the Supreme Court? Those days are, that's prehistoric era now.
But, Jan, I think we need to, and this is, one man's opinion, but I think we need to figure out countrywide, maybe just the liberal side more than I'm going to take a shot at here. There's a difference between I can't fix 1920 or 1880 or 1850 or 1820. I can't fix it. All I can do is learn from it and as best I can and not make the same mistakes again. You know, I can't by having an entire female Supreme Court for the next 30 years doesn't fix not having somebody there in 1915. It is not a quid pro quo. It just isn't. And I look at this administration, and hell, I was the first person to back a African American market maker on the CBOE floor, so I'm out there on this one. But she was qualified, and she was ready, and she just happened to be African American lady, right? To me, it was her time. You know, I didn't hire her because she was to make a statement by myself and run up on a podium and say, "Look what I did." It was her time. She worked for me, and I treated her like everybody else. She put in the time, and there she went. Okay, so I watch, and I don't have any problem. You know, the Biden administration, it's obvious to me that women are half the population, or maybe a little more, yet every single person appears to be who gets a job is a woman. Now, I think there's more than enough women that are smart enough to be in those jobs, but I don't know. These are pretty big appointments. If you're going to cut out half the population, the males, I don't know that you're going to get as strong a team. Same way you would be if you cut out the women. So when I see the lady from the FTC up there, and they're talking about this big merger with Microsoft buying, what's the name of the place, and they're asking her about, you know, antitrust and these places getting too big, and she spends the first 5 minutes talking about how she doesn't have enough staff or enough budget in her place, I want to fire her, just like I would a guy. I mean, she's attractive. She's probably very bright. What are you talking about? You have a job to do. Every time you get a conversation, you can't tell the next person why you don't have enough budget to do your job. I mean, get out of there. I mean, could she possibly have been the best pick of anybody in this country? I mean, I'm looking at her going, where did he get her? Or is that just me? I mean, if it was a guy, I'd feel the same way.
The Kamala Harris thing to me, I mean, it's one thing if you want to pick, you know, a African-American woman for your running mate, but can't you do better than Kamala Harris?
Well, yeah.
Is she the best one of the... That doesn't say much about the way you've drawn this talent pool boundary. I can't believe she's the most qualified person. She's one of the most unqualified by any measuring rod. You leave race and gender out of it. But this is the best you can do? And all it's done is make it harder for the next president to appoint an African-American woman or for an African-American woman to run as president, which will happen sooner rather than later. It makes it harder for those people to rise above a bad history like this by having people who most people see them as having snuck into these positions, not because of anything on their resume, but because of things that have been, you know, decided we value these and we don't value these, you know, traits of other people. That's terrible. It's the expectations that it destroys for where the next person is going to come from is even worse than the damage the person is doing in the present day. So I think it spoils the whole process in the future, and it's going to create long-standing grievances and hatreds, and it's going to put tremendous pressure on the next person in a sensitive group to be something that maybe nobody could be. But it's because they come at the end of a process that's really diminished talent. And it's valued things that have nothing to do with talent or accomplishment.
Well, you know, I was
a terrible situation.
You know, I was a real fan of Jan. I don't know if you ever met her. Was Carol Moseley Brown?
Oh yeah, I never met her, but she's kind of a tragic figure in my book because by all accounts she was an extremely nice person and well spoken, and you know, a breath of fresh air in Illinois politics.
Yeah, and she ended up with the flunky boyfriend. What did he do? He went to Africa on a government dime or something.
But yeah, and then you know.
But how many other losers do we have in Congress that have done the same thing and somehow or another they're okay with it, right?
Well, you know, a lot of people I knew were, you know, gung ho in her campaign when she ran, and you know, she seemed like, you know, the wave of the future, and she was, you know, a one term senator and, you know, left really diminished in many people's eyes. And became what, ambassador to New Zealand later on? Or
yeah.
But the promise, you know, never was realized. And it's unfortunate because I think, you know, I knew her work when I was in title insurance and she was the recorder of deeds, which was considered the dumping ground really for hack politicians. she was able to kind of emerge from that to something bigger and greater, which was unheard of in the history of the Recorder of Deeds in this county.
Yeah, I met her at one of our...
I'll tell you, somebody should do a book about that job.
I met her at one of our CBOE functions in Washington, and out of, you know, you can go back in life, and she's one of the few people that had the ability to, if she talked to you for 30 seconds, you had the idea that you were the only person in the world. I mean, she had that kind of vision, looked right at you, straight from the hip, and it turns out, she's from the South Side, and her chief of staff went to Mother Macaulay, right? So we of course hit it off, and I'm like the only, at the time, the only liberal board member on the CBOE, right? So every time somebody, I forget who was the other senator at the time? Was it Fitzgerald? He was kind of whoever it was kind of a grumpus, and so whenever anybody's kid was going on a tour in Washington, I'd get the call, hey, call your friend Carol, which weren't much of a friend, because they refused to call her because they were Republican, right? Call your friend Carol, see if you get my daughter's fourth grade class for a congressional tour. And she would always, the chief of staff would always do it. We were on kind of a first name basis. And so they wouldn't call the liberal person themselves because they were conservative, but they really wanted the kid to have the nice tour. But it was okay if I called, right? It was like I'm not going to buy anything online ever, but you have your wife buy it, that kind of thing. It was in those days, all you needed was one screw up, and you were out. I mean, she had the boyfriend. Gary Hart had his thing, and they went and got the Elliot Spitzer. But some people seem to be able to get one after another, and it doesn't bother them. It's kind of amazing how the politics are. Some people, one thing bad happens to them, and they're gone, right? And they're never to be seen or heard from again. And other people, they just like water off a duck's back. It's like stocks. Some stocks, they're just Teflon. They're bulletproof, no matter what they do. I mean, especially if they have some kind of a guy like, look at Tesla with Elon Musk. I mean, the company's doing a lot of great things and all those kind of things. But if they didn't have the credits that they sell to other companies, I don't think they would even have survived this far. Now I think they are. They're doing pretty well. But, look at all that stuff. Look at all the controversies that guy's gone through. And yet he's still going strong. Other people, it happens to them one time and they're banned to an ice floe somewhere, right?
It shows that there's more to this than, your old skill set and, what you bring to the table. It has to do with not just the enemies you create, but other people who feel like, their time is more valuable than your time, and you're a one-off, we tried you, now we're going to send you to the dustbin, or we're going to find dirt on you and destroy you. I mean, if we really don't like you and we think you've got any legs or any political future and it doesn't mesh with ours, you're a goner. It has very, chilling consequences, I think. Because there's the in-group and there's the out-group, and it's better to be in the in-group.
Well, Jan, we got to head off to break. We come back. Let's try it. This is called a leader, which I'm not very good at. But we come back. Let's try and tie together the timing of the economic decisions vis-a-vis the elections and kind of make a little parallel with the Jimmy Carter situation. Because timing is a lot, and I'm trying to figure out what's going through these guys' minds in directing the Fed and doing what they're doing, because there clearly is some timing determination going on here. But I tell you what, I just can't figure it out. But S&P futures up 2 now. We're up across the board. S&P futures up 2, NASDAQ futures up 43. Like I said, telephone down, $1.44, but UPS is up $16 down at $218.77. So one up, one down. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Arnold. She's Eliani on the board. SP Futures unchanged now. Unchanged. Just as I said, we're up across the board. Now we're unchanged. NASDAQ Futures up 33. And we have the Dow Futures are up. Two, a whole two. And again, we got a couple earnings. Telephone down $1.48. EPS up 16.40 now. 218.41. So I am assuming Mr. Flanagan was long the straddle at 12.50 and he's up $4. We'll ask him after the break if even, after we're done, if he even knows what the straddle is. Well, I assume he does since he was long it, I hear. Over in Europe, we've got rallies because they're on, the last part of our day yesterday, so they're rallying to catch up. DAX up 196, 1.3%. FTSE up 83, 1.1%. CAC around up 84, 1.2. So they're following us. We were up. Dow was up 407, 1.2. S&P up 83, 1.9. It's a big move there. But here's the big move. The NASDAQ was up to 469, 3.4%. Huge move in the NASDAQ. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei up 76.2%. Shanghai down 32. Actually, no, they're closed. They were not open since last week because it's the year of the tiger, I believe. It's the Chinese New Year. Hang Seng up 252, 1%. I think the tiger, not so sure how the tiger guys fit into this, this group. I'm going to ask John what he is. I'm in the year of the dragon, which is supposed to be pretty good, although I don't know what pretty good means. Bonds, maybe Eliani can tell me what the year of the dragon's all about. Anyway, 10-year down 232 basis points, 1.75. The bond exactly zero, 0.00. So, Japan up one basis point to 0.18. Who knows? Maybe they got 0.20 in their future over there. Oil down 41 cents, 87.84, still pretty high. Brent down 47 cents, 88.79. Natural gas down 15 cents, 4.72. RBOB down a penny at 2.54. We've got gold up 10.50 now, 18.06. Started rallying yesterday. I tried to do a spread in there, and I guess I should have paid up a penny because it would have been a winner. I hate it when you're cheap, especially me. Silver up 64 cents, 23.04. Again, big moves, almost 3% move in silver, but it refuses to break out of the range, maybe this time. Copper up 11 cents, 4.43. Last but not least, especially if you own it, Bitcoin up $81, 38,559, so pretty quiet this morning. Eliani, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, everyone. Currently 7:34 a.m. on February 1st. And to answer your question, the year of the dragon will be 2024.
What year are you?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
But let's get into sports here. Nothing to report from last night's games, but Bulls are going to play the Magic tonight, and Suns are going to play Nets tonight. In the NHL, Blackhawks lose to Canucks last night. Nothing to report for our friends in Phoenix. Same in college basketball, NIU to play Western Michigan tonight. Nothing to report for our friends in Phoenix. In weather this morning, currently 39 degrees with a high of 42, low of 22 with some sleet. Yay. We have a winter storm warning tonight, so please be cautious of that driving tonight, everyone. And in Phoenix, currently sitting pretty at 50 degrees, cloudy with a high of 69 and a low of 48. In Chicago traffic, we got a lot going on. There's a disabled car at Grand on 294 North causing traffic between the I-90 connector and the I-88 West ramp. Traffic on 290 East between Highway 45 all the way to the 290-94 construction intersect, so please be mindful driving this morning. More traffic on 290 West between Austin and the 294 South ramp. Traffic on 55 North between Route 171 and the I-94 East Ramp. Traffic 90 East between Lee Street and the I-94 East Ramp. Traffic on 94 East between Toohey and 35th. And more traffic on 94 between 130th all the way up north to Montrose. So please be careful driving today, everyone. Be safe, be nice to each other, because traffic sucks.
Yes, sounds like it. Mr. Flanagan, so do you know what I'm talking about when I say you're along the straddle?
Well, I have a vague idea, Tom, but I couldn't define it to your standards, so I'll trust your definition.
Well, when you look at a stock, really, at any time, but I usually do it either like a couple of days before expiration. I'm talking about the options of a stock. If you do it a couple of days before expiration, or if there's an earnings play, then clearly your models, John, are based on the theory that there is a continuous flow of information, correct? Well, you and I know that there's anything but a continuous flow, correct? I mean, but one of the days when there is clearly not a continuous flow is an earning date. It only comes once a quarter, and that's when the company reports, and usually there's going to be some sort of a more of an outside move than just on a regular, outsized move than just on a regular day, right? Because it's a serious announcement on the health of the company. They're either going to do better than people thought, do worse than people thought, or exactly what people thought. Then it comes down to who the hell are the people that are doing all the thinking, right? So whenever you'll see, it always aggravates old grumpy guys like me. If you listen to CNBC or Fox or Bloomberg all day long, the talking heads will talk about expectations. And I'm almost go back to be Richard J. Daley. Who are these expectators? You know, nobody's ever met one, you know, but there are expectations, John. And, but anyway, in the options business, like yesterday, let's say UPS was trading almost exactly 200. It was pretty close. It was like 201. If you looked at the 200 call and a 200 put, the two options, and you add them together, that essentially is the price at which the market is, the neutral price where the market is telling you how much the stock is going to move. So some stocks, like telephone, rarely move. So even on earnings day, so I'm going to say the straddle was less than a dollar, which is unusually cheap, right? And now that stock's moved $1.50. So if you would have bought both the call and the put, you probably would have made, you know, whatever, 50, 60 cents, assuming it opens there, which it may not, because we're still almost an hour from the opening. Now, UPS, on the other hand, is not a very volatile stock usually, and I was kind of surprised that the straddle was like 12 and a half, because I have some people that, have a lot of UPS stock that I manage it for them. I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of a lot for UPS, and there it is, it moved 17. So the they's knew something, of it being high at 12, but even they did not, whoever the they's are, they misshot the mark too, Jen, because it's 5 hours over the straddle. So if you were a guy who bought the call and the put, you're a winner, assuming it opens here, which it may not. So was that more than you needed to know?
That does it. And of course, you know, this shows the importance not just of the continuous flow of information, but, you know, access to the information before the average person has access to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody, I mean, when somebody just, you know, kind of rambles off, and, you know, the people in Congress doing this, that, and the other thing, I'm going to say, John, that there's things that I absolutely will defer to you. I don't think you'll ever hear me arguing to you about title law or anything like that. But, you know, I stood in a pit for 20 years, and I know that there are people that get information faster than other people. Okay, and part of that's just the flow. It's just the way life is. All right, I mean, there's always going to be somebody who does more research or does something faster or is in the supply chain and realizes that Apple cut back or increased, you know, some order. This is information that's actually good for the market, John. I mean, there's information from all over the place. Now, when you start getting elected officials and appointed people like in the Fed giving out information that is market turning or trading on it themselves, now that to me is a different story. Those people are quote our employees, right? You know, I don't have a problem if the Flanagan Eliani Inc. hires five people to scour oil fields to find out who's popping up some new rigs and who isn't and buying that company. I don't that to me is research. That's not front running, right?
Right.
But if the Fed lobs one out there to their buddies, now that I'm not so happy about. Just saying. Anyway, I don't know if you've read, although whenever I challenge you, you always have, the interesting dynamic in the Carter administration with the hiring of Paul Volcker. You know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. And without even asking you, see, I can just jump, John, with this, and I know it's not really a jump. He made the, I'm going to say, politically foolish decision, when I say he, Jimmy Carter, of when the money supply had been growing too much, they had this inflation, and everybody blames it on Jimmy Carter. And yet I'll say, by the way, if it happened to Jimmy Carter, why did Nixon need wage and price controls? Usually we're...
Why was Ford telling us to wear win buttons with inflation now?
Yeah. So, and yet, so if when you say stuff like that, people go, yeah, man, maybe it wasn't all Jimmy Carter's fault. But be that as it may, they realized they had to do something pretty dramatic. And so they were going to hire Paul Volcker, who had been on the Fed, but he was a serious monetary policy sort of dude, like he was out of the Milton Friedman School. And they basically said the elections in, it was about January, February of that year, wasn't it, Jen? Sort of like now in the midterms.
Yeah.
And they said to Carter, well, we can put this off, essentially, and throw us into a recession after the election, or we can do it now. And Carter said, will it be worse if we wait? And the answer was yes. And he said, well, I can't do that. Let's do it now, and hopefully I'll still win. And he didn't. All right. Now, everybody knows the history of it. Whether he should have been elected versus Reagan or not, I don't know. I actually thought Reagan was pretty good. I thought Carter had some weaknesses of his own, but he also was a hard luck guy. Now, I think the same sort of thing is going on right now. Exactly the same thing. We know we got to do this. But right now, we have people, there's kind of three things at work here, Jen. We're telling everybody how great the economy is, but we're talking about nominal numbers, not real numbers. Virtually every number these guys talk about in terms of growth, I mean, with the numbers coming out of like retail sales and stuff being lousy, those are gross numbers. If you subtract the inflation from that, you've got horrible numbers. But right now, as you walk through society, and listeners on this show, I think, have a pretty fair shot at understand what the hell I'm talking about. But if I just went out, you know, in a South Side or North Side park and talk like this, nobody have any idea what I'm talking about. That you're talking about nominal versus real. And when you got an inflation rate that's pushing 8, 9, 10% right now, which it is, whenever Home Depot comes out with a same store sales number, you pretty much have to say, well, let's take 10% off of that because they've at least raised their prices 10%. What are they really selling? And I don't think that's permeating through society at all yet, John, do you?
No, if you were to compare, as you've said on the show before, that to take the number of units of anything sold at Home Depot versus whatever figures you want to use for same store sales amounts, you'll get a very different picture, and it works the same way in the savings rate of households. You look at the gross amount supposedly, which is also kind of a disturbing number, but look at what it really means in terms of buying power of those savings, and it's much worse. So all of these numbers are are able to be twisted in a way that, that kind of minimizes what's really happening. And that what's really happening is pretty bad.
Well, you know, I was in, I've been there for a while. I think probably because they don't want me back. I was on Joan Esposito's show, and she used to call me, and I think they've kind of slipped off the economic stuff a little bit, but she's terrific. By the way, I really like Joan, and she used to ask me, I'm talking about economics, and she goes, I want to talk about inflation, and you're the guy I want to talk about. Okay, so again, I go on, and she says, well, how does it really affect me? And I said, well, Joan, let's just say, for instance, and I hope this is true, you got $1 million in the bank. She goes, okay. I said, well, at the end of the year, your $1 million is going to be worth $920 this year. Well, what do you mean? I mean that if there's 8% inflation, that money is now worth 8% less than it was last year. And you're not making any, if it's in the bank, you're getting zero interest, or, you know, 0.1%. So it's basically a bleep storm for any saver. You know, if you're in the market and you happen to have a stock that goes up, you can diffuse it that way. But still, what if your stock goes down, you pick the wrong one? Now you got a real problem. I said it affects everybody. And people don't normally think that way, or we haven't for 40 years, and hopefully we never should have done it again. But it basically penetrates every part of society. And there are some people who have pricing power. Procter & Gamble obviously did. The chairman said that last week. We've been able to raise prices more than people have raised prices to us, and salaries have gone up. Okay. It's nice to be a monopolist or an oligopolist or whatever the hell they are. You know, they're a good company. I've actually been a big fan of Procter & Gamble since I got out of grad school, for God's sake. I think they managed very, very well. But, John, you look at Home Depot and Lowe's, I'm going to say they have more pricing power than Walmart, Amazon, Target, that whole group. I think that group is more competitive than Home Depot and Lowe's. I mean, in the Midwest, at least we have Menards. We have a third person, a third big competitor. I don't think if you go to Colorado, it's just Home Depot and Lowe's, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if the prices are that much different, but I'll bet they're a little different. You know, I mean, they're just a little more of a, they're a duopoly instead of a cartel, right? Here it's more of a cartel, not a duopoly. I think that these guys, they must know, Jen, that if they try and push this to November, just like Jimmy Carter asked his people, if I push it off 9 months, is it going to be worse when we have to do something? I think right now the answer, they must know the answer is yes. And yet I think they're trying to do it, and I'm just very afraid that they're going to do that. And, but since the part I want to ask, it's about the world's longest question, are they reading the tea leaves right? I mean, it's a midterm election. Should they be doing what they're doing, pushing this off? Or right now, he could do it and say, hey, I just got here. This was a Trump phenomenon. Look what they did. Look at what they did to the money. He right now could blame it all on the previous administration and say, hey, look, these guys raised the money supply 25%. I'm cutting it back. There's going to be some pain, but look elsewhere, bud, I mean, this is what we have to do because other people have made me do it. Right now, he's going to own this. I mean, I don't get the strategy, do you?
No. You know, and I think it's a particularly important midterm election, Tom, historically speaking, because, you know, the consequences that are looming are pretty enormous. I think, you know, just to consider what's happened because of the shutdown and the lockdowns and the disruptions to everything, which have, you know, unprecedented in economic history, really, as far as something being self-inflicted, that puts tremendous pressure on how this is going to play out at the polls. The electorate is very disaffected. I mean, even people in the Democratic Party are disaffected, I think, at this point.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it isn't just because something Biden didn't go far enough, something he went way too far or attacked it the wrong way, or like some people have said, started from the left side of everything instead of from the center and ended up with getting a big bag of nothing for his most, you know, vehement leftist supporters. But I think to do nothing and to expect this to play out in some way that's favorable, I mean, this could really antagonize, you know, people to an extent that I don't think anybody really has a grip on. And it could explode financially in everybody's face. I hope hope that, you know, if they think, well, we run the risk of losing so many seats, you know, in the House or the Senate if we do this, or if we don't do this, we'll hang on to a few more seats, whatever that kind of calculus is. I think the stakes are very different now, and to be thinking in those terms is very short-sighted and likely to increase the damage that we're going to face.
Well, I mean, he's the one who's got inflation as public enemy number one, and that's all everybody talks about, but nobody's done anything yet. I'm astounded that, you know, if somebody, I'll use a Southside metaphor, if somebody was your neighbor and every night the guy did nothing but whine about no rain and his lawn was burning up, at some point you say, hey, buddy, you got a hose, you got a sprinkler, get at it. I mean, there's only so much you can talk about it. Hey, if you don't mind, I don't think it'll bore the listeners. What is being an attorney and knowing all this stuff, like all your attorneys are supposed to, like the professor in Gilligan's Island, what exactly is the status of this? When do you have to have 60 votes in the Senate? When don't you? What do they want to change? Is that a procedural rule? Is that a constitutional thing?
This has become completely fudged, you know, in the coverage that I see now. So I'm not even trusting my own, you know, opinions about this. But it used to be that, you know, a cloture vote was a way of stopping debate on an issue and forcing a vote. And
but
you
they used to actually
votes to do that.
But so they used to actually have people up there talking. Now they don't even make people do that anymore.
Right. Right. To force a vote, it took, you know, 60 votes, and if you didn't have the 60 votes, you could, you know, keep going and going and going, talk your heads off. But you had to, at some point, end debate, and the thing went to a vote, or it was voted up or down. And this is where the filibuster now seems to be, you know, it's been confused with just the fact that there is something called a cloture vote, where you actually stop debate in order to take action on the issue that's on the table. This has been, they've been confused, I think, deliberately to kind of make people hostile to the idea of the filibuster, when it isn't, that isn't the issue. It's about whether you really have any kind of consensus in, you know, the Senate or the House, and this is masking the fact that these people can't get their act together. And it's unfortunate that now, you know, they think they can change the rules as a way of getting the result they want, when what they really have to do is to build a better consensus than they have. They don't even have the votes on the Democratic side of the aisle.
Well, Jan, what's the difference between
them? They don't have a majority. You know, they're lacking two crucial votes to even get to 50 votes before there's a tiebreaker situation.
What's the difference between the ones where you need a 60 vote and ones that you don't? They call those things, what's the name for those? A rehash bill. It's not rehash, is not the term, but the, where you're just like redoing the same bill, you only need 50, not 60, where they try and ram things through on a, didn't they do that?
A reconciliation.
What does that mean? I mean, that's,
well, that, you know, it used to be that, you know, you had two, I thought it meant you had two different versions of a bill, one passed in the House, one in the Senate, and you had to go back to committee to figure out how you can mesh these two versions together to get something that is signable by the president. And that was, you know, that's a completely different process from getting the House, the respective chambers to vote on it. This has already taken place when I always thought was reconciliation. It was trying to shave off the differences between pieces of legislation where you had conflicting versions of them. Well, it means something very different now, and to listen to Pelosi and people explain it, you know, you get deeper and deeper in the weeds all the time. Nobody, I think, really wants to demystify it, because it will expose some of the flaws in the consensus building skills that both parties have.
Well, wasn't Obama
can't really speak as a body in any kind of convincing way, and they're just stirring up anxiety about the rules of the chambers. That is the problem here.
Well, wasn't Obamacare passed is not a new bill, but is one of these reconciliation things? They didn't have 60.
Yeah, with no bipartisan support either. You know? So, I mean, that has really, you know, stuck in a lot of people's.
Well, where does it stand? Where does it stand, like, right now? Because now the Democrats are saying, if they had the two votes, which they don't, or doesn't appear, they're saying they want to change the rules so they can pass stuff with just 50. When it looks like they're going to lose the place in 10 months, why would you ever do that? No, you're probably not going to have the majority. Even if you wanted to, that would make no sense. But I guess what good is the rule? Is the rule if everybody who comes in with a majority just says we're not going to use the rule anymore?
It shows how short-sighted their goals have become. I think it was about trying to push everything through they possibly could, no matter how insane it was or how little, you know, support there really was for it, because they knew in 2022 they'd be toast. And I think it's shaping up to be a worse debacle than even their most nervous critics thought. But you know, how the stock market plays into this and how the Fed plays into this will be something to watch very carefully, because there's always been a relationship between what the Fed knows is triggering by sitting and not changing rates or raising them or lowering them or whatever else, tremendously important political consequences from it. But if you took that out of the equation and just look at how the Democrats have overplayed their hand for the last year, that's a whole different kind of factor, and that's increased the energy and the blowback effect from whatever happened. So it's an extremely unstable situation, I think.
Well, if you put, I mean, that's what I'm going to ask about, the question I kind of was trying to get to, and long story short, don't tell it. Is if they're looking at this midterm, which is obviously a problem. It has been for everybody. Republicans have a problem midterm. Everybody has a problem midterm. But if you go by the idea that if you push off the quote recession, especially since we don't seem to know the difference between nominal and real, if you push that off till, let's say, next year, if you could, I think you probably can. I just keep pouring money into the system. If you pushed it off, and now, you go by the doctrine that I'm going to say is true, that if you push it off, you're going to make it worse when you do face it, just like in the Volcker days, in the Carter days. Now you got to start worrying about the general election. I mean, the presidential. I mean, I don't think if I'm Carter or Biden, if there's going to be a recession, hopefully in name only, hopefully, because you're going to get rid of some of these nominal numbers, I want it this year. I don't want it a year and a half from now when I'm up. Because the presidency is more important than the Congress, I think. I mean, why would I want to put this off and have it happen when I'm facing an election? I mean, I don't think that's very bright, do you?
No, I think it shows there's a panic and just, what kind of a, minority situation might the Democrats be in after 2022, that they're going to, try to save everything they can to control the damage that's likely to come this coming November. What comes after that, après moi le déluge. It's like, yeah. Don't worry about that then. They'll have lots of other things to worry about, of course, in the process. But I think their first order of business is not to go down in flames this November. If they think they can do some kind of way of spinning the results that makes it look like they've got a leg to stand on, they'll do what they have to do to, kick it down the road a couple more years until 2024, which, is a hell of a way to run a business. But if it's about political survival more than the survival of the average American household, you know how they're going to go.
Oh, sure.
So.
Absolutely, but it's getting old. I mean, it really is getting
real old. Huh?
I mean, both sides. I'm wondering. We only have a couple of minutes, so I'll just lob this one out there. Maybe we talk about it on Monday. I don't know if you agree with my view of changing view of the political climate, where in Clinton's day or even before that, the left. You went over to the goofy left. You got your checks, and you flew back to the middle where the votes were. Same way if you're on the right, you went to the, the neocons, and you got your check, and then you flew back to the middle to get the votes. Well, now, I think the middle, A, isn't there, and B, the two sides, instead of being 10% idiots on the extreme left and extreme right, they're more like 25, and everybody's really after each other, and I don't think the middle, I think people stay there, and a lot of what you and I see really on both sides, and we say, boy, that doesn't make any sense, because people like us, and even though you, purport to be this Mr. Right-Winger, are really pretty much in the middle like me. You're a little bit righter middle, but you're not a neocon either. I mean, am I correct in that?
Yeah,
we're both, I'm gonna say, if 100 was, way left and zero is way right, you're probably a 45 and I'm a 55. maybe 40-60.
That's reasonable.
And I think most people on the show are. I mean, we might get Lou might be a 30 or a 25, but everybody else, I think, is sort of where I put them. Right? I think the idea, and Trump, I'm going to say, recognize this. If I got my 30, I'm going to take a chance on getting another 20 out of the rest of these people because they don't like their candidate either. And I think he was very perceptive at that. And I think now it's kind of going across the board where Biden is convinced that there's no real Republican candidate. And if it's Trump again, he's got, you know, they got a problem with that guy. So if he can maintain his 30%, I'll use the term addicts, that he's got a real good chance in a general election where people never used to think that way. But I think they think that way now, and I'm not so sure they're wrong, Jen.
I think that, you know, the problem, though, is that the Democrats have overplayed their hand in going for the leftmost wing of the party. And I said this before the election in 2020, that if they won by some whatever, confluence of events, they would have a very fractured party the next time around, and they would spend a lot of important capital trying to bridge the gap that they've created here. And, you know, the Republicans aren't in a whole lot of better shape. No. I would agree,
all
though.
Right, like, Jan, we
Trump sensed this and knew how he could capitalize it because the Democrats were gradually disaffecting, you know, their most traditional power base. And they've just continued to do that ever since. So they're likely to be in a much worse situation even if they don't come out so bad.
Well, we got to talk about this on Monday, but I can't imagine the Republicans running Trump. But who knows? I mean, the world is...
Stranger things have happened.
S&P Futures up 4, NASDAQ Futures up 41. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
No, God, no. We don't want those idiots bumbling around in this.